50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And our football talk today, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's hit the phone lines before we talk about Nick Herbig and hear what Tomlin had to say. I'm very eager to see this guy in a full game. I hate the fact that Alex Highsmith is injured because I like him a lot, but this is going to be very, very intriguing to see Nick Herbig. But first, back to the NIL. The kid from UNLV, the quarterback, quits in the middle of a season. Seems to be some dispute as to why, but it's definitely NIL related. Is he not getting what he wants from Vegas, or is somebody else swooping in and saying, we'll pay you this amount of money, or both? And how does that relate to Pitt and Eli Holstein or any program around the country that's not really a blue blood that doesn't have the resources of other places when they get a star quarterback like this? Do you start to worry? 928-9370. This is crazy stuff. Crazy times in college football and basketball. Who do we have, Limits? Please.
Let's go to Rick in the car.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, Joe. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been around Pitt for a long time and actually season ticket holder for 30 years.
Yeah.
And sitting at the first game against Kent State, I'm sitting there with my son and my buddies, and we're watching Holstein come out. He's throwing dimes. He's zipping the ball. He's got great size. He can move in the pocket. He can do everything that anybody ever looks for. And we jokingly laughed at the end of the first quarter. Wonder how long it's going to take for somebody to come after him and take him away from Pitt. Now, on the other hand, you have Gavin Bartholomew, who could have gone to a lot of different places, but he stayed at Pitt. So every now and then, you might get that special kid who stays. But I have no idea what Holstein's deal is with Pitt, or, you know, how long it's going to take his agent to, you know.
If he has one, yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah, you don't know, but that's funny after the first quarter. You can't help but think that way, and that's no statement at all. I don't know Holstein at all. I love what I see from him. Passion-wise and play-wise, of course. I'm just saying what you just said, that if you're a fan at a school like Pitt, you can't help but have these things cross your mind. I appreciate the call. Maybe, you know, when you think of solutions, I mentioned there are some rules. So schools can institute rules. Many of them say, you know, if you're an athlete, you can't do ads for alcohol or drug companies, things like that. I don't even know what the governing, is there a unified governing body? I don't think of the NCAA that way anymore. Like, who would make a blanket rule that says, or create a salary cap? Who would create that? Is that possible? To where there would be less worry about such things. An individual salary cap, a program salary cap. I don't know, man. We are really in the Wild West with this. Truly. Next call.
Go to Matt in the car.
Hello, Matt. What's up?
So how are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I have a very unique perspective. I am a college coach. I'm not going to say for what or where. I've seen this coming for a long time, and this is totally on the universities. And for them to get in a huff all of a sudden because of what these athletes are doing is just disingenuous. It really is. They had every opportunity, Joe, every opportunity to address this. Do you remember back when the O'Bannon brothers filed their lawsuit?
Yeah.
About the stuff over. I don't remember the exact particulars, but they could have saw this coming. They could have saw, and they could have created an equal partnership with the players and the athletes in general. And instead, they lived in their ivory tower. They put their head in the sand, and they just...
The schools or the NCAA or both? Because the NCAA kept, both. And I guess the NCAA pretty much was the will of the schools, right? Yeah. It's sort of like Roger Goodell is the will of the owner, the majority of the owners in football. But you're right, they kept fighting this and fighting this tooth and nail. We're not giving them anything until they were forced to.
And let me tell you, yes, the NCAA is the face of it, but the schools are all complicit. They have never looked at the student athlete as being in partnership. And I'm talking at any level. They have never been willing to look at that. And all they did was collect the checks and keep building bigger buildings and more lavish facilities and more lavish boxes for, you know, the big donors. And they just refused to see the part that the athlete plays in all this.
Here's the other funny thing, however you want to define the word funny here, is that we see these lavish multi-million dollar facilities. And we're sitting here talking about, yeah, they're going to have to cut the track and field team. You know, really? What if we had exercised some restraint back when it was possible, before we started paying for those kinds of facilities? We started paying coaches ridiculous sums of money. Hey, it's a free market. You want to get the best players and the best television deals, I guess, go for it. There's no rules. But now when it finally extends to the players, now everybody's up in arms. Where are you going to get the money to pay them? I don't know. Where'd you get the money to buy a locker room that looks like the Taj Mahal? Where did you get the money to pay your AD all that? Where did you get the money to pay your coach $7 million a year? Now that the players are getting a piece of it, it's, oh my God, where are you going to get the money for that? We're going to have to cut other programs. Next.
Let's go to Jeff in Cranberry.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, have you played Cranberry Highlands yet?
Fabulous.
I'd like to play there. I'd like to play there with you someday, and I've never met you, and I don't know who you are. I just want to play. I just want to play every day.
I think Lindenwood in the south and Cranberry Highlands in the north.
Don't forget Moon in the west.
Is Cranberry Moon? Cranberry and Lindenwood are nicer than Moon, but
I disagree. But go ahead.
I think Cranberry's great. You got to get up there. So, couple things. One, the interesting piece of this is college football has never – have you seen the ratings? You could put 50,000 more seats up at Penn State and they would sell it out. You know, Pitt's even got fans in the stadium. It's never been more popular, and I think you have to embrace it. I threw the I'm an old-school guy. I love Bo Schembechler versus Woody Hayes as much as the next. But, you know, it's pretty cool seeing a Rose Bowl matchup in September on Saturday. I'm trying to embrace it. I'm trying to have an open mind. I know it's the wild, wild west. I know it's different. I will tell you this, though. I went to the University of Kentucky in the 80s. We were the worst team in the history of college football.
Yeah.
And now I see my alma mater get a guy named Will Levis who's just going to sit on the bench. He goes down to Kentucky, and we break historical droughts. 30 years of losing to Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does give teams like Pitt and Kentucky a chance.
What does? The transfer rule?
And they could win an ACC championship with Holstein. He may leave and go to Alabama next year. Wouldn't that be something if he went back down there? But I guess you have to say we got him for a year.
Sure. But UNLV, I'm talking about it extending all the way to a guy quitting early in a season, apparently because he's not getting paid what he wants or because somebody is offering more or both.
I think the players have to step in there. I think his teammates and maybe his future teammates need to, you know, talk somebody out of a mid-season. When you leave your team in the mid-season, I don't care what finances are involved. That's a bad look to your teammates. You know, any team you're on at any level, I know you talk, you know, your daughter's on softball teams and she plays sports. When you leave your team, I don't care what level, what age, you leave your teammates in the middle of a season, it's not going to be something.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like as a coach, a head coach, going into parents' living rooms and saying, I'm going to be with your guy for 4 years, and then and then telling your team to be loyal to one another, and then you scratch and fight all season to get to a bowl game, and then 2 weeks before the bowl game, you're no longer seen around your team.
Couldn't agree
more. It kind of reminds me of that.
I could not agree more. And I go back to the greatest example of this was our buddy there, Todd. What was his name? The text message that he's leaving his team.
Todd Graham. Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe kids like this will look at as Todd Graham from an integrity perspective, and it will become less
televised.
But I totally agree. This behavior was completely created, supported, and even encouraged almost in the coaching and AD communities. So
I still go back.
I'm trying to just have an open mind, though.
Yeah, Joe. I appreciate it. And I do appreciate that part of it, like that this is the wild, wild west, and either you adapt or die. So you better adapt. So if you have a quarterback right now that might be gone at some point, well, you better have your general manager, and a lot of schools are hiring them. We just saw, what's his name, Woj from ESPN become the general manager of St. Bonaventure basketball. You better have a list ready. Your kid leaves mid-season, you better have a pretty good depth chart. You just better be ready to adapt to this. And I always go back to the Pete Carril quote, the former Princeton basketball coach, when people said to him, because he was very successful, you know, why don't you go to a bigger school and coach there, get that money? And he said, and I paraphrase, once you join the rat race, you are, by definition, a rat. So if you're in the rat race, you better be a rat. That's what I would say. And if you can't adapt, then get out of it, or like Carril, never get into it in the first place. Otherwise, this is what we have. Adapt or die. One more call.
Let's go to Jake in the South Hills.
Hello, Jake.
Hey, Joe, I'm an attorney, not in any of these areas, sports or labor law or anything like that, but it's fascinating from a legal perspective about what these contracts say. That's what it is. Kid signs a contract, an NIL contract. What's he giving up? What's he getting in exchange? Are both parties honoring the contract? And so, I mean, you know, like the facts on the ground here are a step ahead of the legalities. You're going to be getting into like rights of first refusal and give backs, right? If you transfer, go ahead and transfer, but you owe us the NIL money back or a certain percentage, whatever.
Yeah, we've already seen, I think, some cases like that. It is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, in all these, and I totally agree with your point, you know, the AD leaves and nobody bats an eye. The coach leaves before the bowl game. That's just the way things go. But what do their contracts say? And we never hear that. But we're going to hear it with the kids, you know. There's, whatever's going on with this kid and other kids like him, contractually, something's going on. Somebody owes somebody money because that's what they just agreed to. That's called a contract.
And if you want the best players, you have to agree to a contract on their terms, which is, of course, why so many of these coaches have outs. You want me to coach your basketball program? All right, I can leave anytime I want, and here's how much I want. You know, that's right. if you're the best of the best, you write your own rules and your own contracts.
Right. And if I'm representing the university, I'm thinking like, hey, I've got a little leverage here too, because if I sign for X hundred thousands or millions, who knows? And now I write the contract in such a way that you kid, you and your family owe us half that amount.
Yeah.
Or X percent back.
Right.
Kid sitting in his living room, he can't come up with 800 grand, million, whatever it might be. Now, if he's an NFL quality star, that maybe takes care of itself in the future. But it is just, the headlines are 6 months ahead of the law. And
man,
it's just tremendous.
We're going to see more and more of this. Part of it is very enjoyable. I agree with that. I love seeing chaos in college sports. I wouldn't love seeing these programs dropped. I can tell you that. But again, it's just interesting to me that now that players who can strike their own deals, by the way, I think the programs being dropped is more in relation to actually paying players, like school to player, more than it is sponsor to player. But as somebody pointed out earlier, the same people who are giving money to the schools could be the same people giving money to players now. And that could cut into it. I hear that. But all the money that's been thrown around college sports, now we're going to worry about, oh, now that we're paying players, and we're going to have to cut programs now. This is bad.